We need to actively pursue study in the context of a community. We need to have patience, and we need those around us to support us, and then we need to experiment with the gifts that we've received, the things that we experience in prayer, the things that we're learning, in order to best to discern where the Lord is calling us and compelling us to serve. I was really looking for a lighter yesterday, and we don't obviously smoke in our house, so I realized we didn't have a lighter. So I went on Amazon, and I plugged in a lighter, and I couldn't find any. All I could find were like 6,000 matches. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 213. If it's your first time joining us, we start every episode with a fun little dad joke. I hope that brought a smile to your face, a chuckle to your soul. Either way, please rate and review this podcast, especially if it's your first time, because it helps other people find it. Highest compliment you can pay me in this podcast is to share it with your family and friends. And if you want to find all of our content and all the ways to get in touch with us and share it with others, go to our website, mannafoodforthought.com. That's M-A-N-N-A, foodforthought, all spelled out, .com, or M-A-N-N-A-F-F-T.com. And you can find all of our content there. While you're there, click on the subscribe button. You'll get our weekly psalm reflection emailed straight to your inbox every Wednesday morning. And if you feel so inclined, click on the what is the other button? Give button. That's what it's called. Man, I can't believe I forgot that. And it'll take you to our Patreon page, and you can support this podcast and the costs associated with keeping it on for as little as $1 a month, and you become a patron. And patrons get perks and access to other talks and my undying gratitude and love. So thank you to all of you who support the podcast. Longtime, first-time listeners, it's great to be with you. Let's get into our joy junk and Jesus. My joy this week is that it is the week of my wife's birthday. We celebrated this past Sunday, had a wonderful, relaxing, and fun day together. And so that was just a huge source of joy. Another source of joy, it kind of came up on celebrating, but I had to really look hard to find restaurants because I'm not eating gluten, dairy, soy, or sugar anymore, all of which have very inflammatory effects on my body because of my Hashimoto's autoimmune disease. So I've been doing that. It's been a difficult adjustment, but I feel so much better. My goodness, like I can't even begin to tell you. So that's been a huge joy in my life. Junk is that, so my daughter had an ear infection for quite a while. That's finally gone. But now my son has just super elevated allergies for some reason. Plus he has like perpetually bad eczema. So this poor kid is just, he looks like a leper, and he's just like, you know, so just pray for him and his healing. He's at the doctor as I'm recording this right now with my wife. So, pray as you're hearing this, all goes well, and the Lord will apply those prayers, to that moment because he can do that. Yeah. And then my Jesus moment was I went to spiritual direction with my spiritual director this past weekend, and I was just reflecting on the drive home, like kind of the progress of my own spiritual life and how I see myself, how I see my sins and my struggles and my journey with the Lord, and just kind of rejoicing in the fact that I've learned how to have more mercy on myself and to appreciate the small wins and not get discouraged because I'm not, you know, a perfect saint yet or something like that. Because that's not going to happen until I get to heaven. So yeah, I was just very appreciative of the fact that I've learned some good skills in how I view myself and my own spiritual life in spiritual direction. So if you're not in spiritual direction, I highly recommend it. Yeah, it's awesome. Let's get into our podcast episode for this week. We are looking at the second reading for this upcoming Sunday. Now, depending on where you are, this upcoming Sunday is the seventh Sunday of Easter, but in many places in the United States, the holy day of obligation known as Ascension Thursday, which is, you know, 10 days before Pentecost, is usually moved to the following Sunday to ensure that it is celebrated by many of the faithful to attend. So it is still a holy day of obligation because every Sunday is a holy day of obligation, but it is celebrated on that Sunday. So I'm going to do what we do in our diocese and look at the second reading for the solemnity of the Ascension of the Lord, because that's what we are celebrating this upcoming Sunday. But just know, if you are not in a diocese or a province that does that, then you're going to have a different second reading. So ours is going to be from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians, the church in Ephesus, which is in modern-day Turkey, chapter 1, verses 17 through 23. As with many of Paul's letters, Paul is writing this to a community he helped establish. Ephesus is kind of central to a conglomeration of areas. I believe Galatia is over there as well. Of all these kind of churches in Asia Minor, of which Ephesus and Galatia were, I think, some of the more significant ones. Paul spends quite a bit of time in Ephesus. I think you can read about that in Acts chapter 19, if I'm not mistaken. Should have looked that up beforehand, but we'll see how well my memory serves me. Definitely had some run-ins with trying to root out idolatry there, and was run out of Ephesus as a result, but was able to establish a church there, some converts, and writing to them to help address the current needs and issues in their church as he's hearing about them. And I believe it was Timothy, his traveling companion, who would become the first bishop of Ephesus, that he placed there and who would inform him about some of these issues before and after he became the bishop there. So this is what Paul is writing. This is the very beginning of his letter, toward the section, or right after the greeting section. So it's very much kind of front of mind. What are the issues facing those Christians in Ephesus? The first things that Paul wants to communicate to them in this letter. So we'll read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 23. Paul writes, "Brothers and sisters, may the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, resulting in knowledge of him. May the eyes of your hearts be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope that belongs to his call, what are the riches of glory in his inheritance among the holy ones, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power for us who believe, in accord with the exercise of his great might, which he worked in Christ, raising him from the dead and seating him at the right hand in the heavens, far above every principality, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he put all things beneath his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I don't know if you caught it. I was trying to convey it with a little bit of the speed and tone, but this whole passage, even though it's like six or seven verses, is like three sentences. And the middle is this huge run-on sentence, which I believe Paul is famous for run-on sentences. So it's a little hard to follow sometimes. So be patient with that. If you kind of got lost there, that's okay. What I want to focus on is from that very first sentence where he says, he's asking that the Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Or the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And those words really kind of stood out to me. That wisdom and revelation are things that are not, automatic in the Christian life. That, you know, if we want to encounter Christ, we need the church. First of all, you see in that last sentence, he gave him as head over all things to the church, with it, which is his body. So when we encounter the church, we're encountering Christ. And in the early church, and even today, we don't see a distinction between Jesus Christ and the church. They are the same thing. So when Saul is persecuting the early church, having never met Jesus, and Jesus appears to him, he says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Not the church, he says, "me." Because if you're persecuting the church, you're persecuting Christ. They are one and the same. And so if we want to encounter Christ, we need the church. There is no disconnect between the two. And in order to do that, yes, we need daily prayer. We need the sacraments. I've talked about that many times. Those should be part and parcel of your life as a Christian. If you want to encounter Jesus Christ and have a life that is changed and transformed in relationship with him, to experience that gift of salvation won for us on the cross, we need the sacrament of baptism. Living that out and being reconciled when we fail, we need all the other sacraments. And we need to be connected with him every day in prayer, because prayer is conversation. It's our daily relationship. And just like I need to talk to my wife every day in order to be in good relationship with her, and communication is key in any relationship, the same thing is true in prayer. However, that won't automatically bring us to a place where we receive wisdom and where we fully understand or comprehend revelation. We want to get to the place that this passage remarks in its second sentence, where it says, "May the eyes of your hearts be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope that belongs to his call, what are the riches of his glory and his inheritance among the holy ones." If we want our hearts to be enlightened, if we want to know the hope that belongs to his call, if we want to know the riches of glory in his inheritance, then we need to allow our relationship cultivated in prayer and the sacraments to grow and thrive in the midst of the church. And so how do we do that? How do we get to a place where we get to wisdom and revelation? Because wisdom is something that we only get based on experience. We need time and experience in order to have wisdom. So knowledge is something we can learn kind of immediately. But wisdom is knowledge applied over time. So knowledge is that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing that it does not belong in a fruit salad. You only learn that from the experience of having the knowledge and applying it, right? So that's wisdom. And then revelation is the teachings of Jesus Christ that have been given to us, but those aren't automatically downloaded when we get baptized. We have to study them and we have to learn. And so time and experience lived out in the church community, study and learning in the context of the church community, how do we do those things in order to allow our relationship with Jesus Christ to thrive and grow as it's being built on that foundation of prayer and the sacraments? And so I came up with this little acronym. If you want Jesus in your heart, that means he's under your pecs, P-E-C-S, your pectoral muscles. And so P-E-C-S, these are four things that I believe that you and I can do to help better cultivate a thriving relationship with Jesus Christ that is one that is wise and that is steeped in revelation, steeped in his teaching. Okay? And the first is P of pecs, patience. That this is going to take time. Again, time plus knowledge equals wisdom. And so we can learn all we want, but some of this is just going to be the virtue of what we call long-suffering, which is sometimes translated to patience, that we recognize that there is going to be trial and ache in the waiting and in the growing and in the pains of learning what is fruitful in this relationship with God and what is not, of trial and error. That's what it says in Proverbs 14, verse 29. It says, long-suffering results in great wisdom. A short temper raises folly high. So long-suffering or patience brings us wisdom. But if we don't have patience, if we resort to anger or if we make snap judgments or we don't spend the time gaining wisdom and learning revelation, then we're going to act foolishly. Okay, so that's P, patience. E is experiment. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, test everything and retain what is good. We need to test the spirits. We need to test our gifts and charisms of the Holy Spirit. And we have to apply the knowledge we've learned to new situations. And again, that will result in wisdom. And we do these things in the context of a church community. We need a community to help encourage us to be patient. We need the wisdom of others to help us recognize how do we get through these periods that seem like desolation or dark nights of the soul, periods of confusion or discernment where we're not sure what to do next. And then we need to actively take the risk and experiment with things and not just over-discern to the point where we are in analysis paralysis and we do nothing, but where we actively make a choice, we test everything and we retain what is good. And we apply that knowledge to new situations. That is how wisdom will begin to develop. So PECS, patience, experiment, and C is community. We need the encouragement and support and accompaniment and the feedback of others. We need it in order to grow in the spiritual life. I quote this constantly. One of my favorite paragraphs in the Catechism, if not my favorite, is 166, about how faith, yes, is a personal act. It's the free response of the human person to the initiative of God who reveals himself. But faith is not an isolated act, it says. It says, no one can believe alone, just as no one can live alone. You have not given yourself faith as you have not given yourself life. The believer has received faith from others and should hand it on to others. Our love for Jesus and for our neighbor impels us to speak to others about our faith. Each believer is thus a link in the great chain of believers. I cannot believe without being carried by the faith of others, and by my faith, I help support others in the faith. Wisdom is cultivated in like-minded community that supports one another. We learn revelation better and the wisdom of God better by surrounding ourselves with people who are on that same journey, who have those same pursuits and goals. And we need to lean on others because we are not our own savior. We are not our own Messiah. We cannot save ourselves. We will fail. We will fall. We will doubt. We will sin. And we need the church and specific people within the church community to challenge us and call us out, to call us back to the sacraments, to encourage us when we are down, to basically perform for us the spiritual works of mercy, to admonish us, to instruct us, to counsel us, to comfort us, to bear the wrongs that we do, to receive our forgiveness and to pray for us. We need that in a community. And lastly, patience, experiment, community, and S is study. We need to know the teachings of the church and the words of Scripture. We can learn it through spiritual reading, through being in the Bible every day, the catechism, looking in church documents. We have such great resources like the Bible in a Year podcast and the Catechism in a Year podcast with Father Mike Schmitz. We have so many things online. The whole New American Bible that we read every single Sunday at Mass, that translation is fully online for free on the USCCB website. The Catechism of the Catholic Church is fully online for free on the Vatican website. All the church documents that have been written and recorded and digitized are free on the Vatican website. There is a plethora of things to learn, and if we don't know how to interpret it, there are a plethora of influencers, speakers, theologians, people who can accurately inform us as to how to interpret this on YouTube and on Instagram and having podcasts like this one who can help you understand. Apostolates like Catholic Answers. Things like that can help illuminate in us that knowledge. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, Paul is exhorting Timothy and says, until I arrive, attend to the reading, exhortation, and teaching. Yes, I'll be able to help you when I'm there and help you glean some wisdom, but you need to be studying and reading and then exhorting others and teaching what you have learned. So patience, experiment, community, and study. If we do these things, pecs, if we remember this, if we work on our pecs, we exercise our pecs, those things that surround our and protect our heart physically in our body, then we will have a heart for the Lord, and our heart for the Lord will be strong, and it will be protected by a strong, well-nourished relationship with God. Yes, we need the foundation of prayer and the sacraments, but just because we have that grace of the sacraments and just because we're connected with God doesn't mean that automatically we are going to receive the gift of wisdom and automatically we're going to grow in revelation of the Lord. We'll glean some things, but we need to actively pursue study in the context of a community. We need to have patience and we need those around us to support us, and then we need to experiment with the gifts that we've received, the things that we experience in prayer, the things that we're learning, in order to best discern where the Lord is calling us and compelling us to serve. And so, brothers and sisters, if you want this life that Paul is encouraging the Ephesians to have, one where our hearts are enlightened, where we know the hope that belongs to the calling of the Lord, where we know the riches of glory in his inheritance, if you want those things, that abundance, that knowledge, that wisdom, that revelation from the Lord to guide you each day, this is how we grow. Prayer, sacraments, and pecs. Having patience, experimenting, being in right-rooted community, right-rooted relationship with community, and study. And if we're not doing these things on a daily or weekly basis, weekly at minimum, but daily basis, especially prayer needs to be daily. But I think study, too, can be daily. Being rooted in community once a week, at least when we're here for Mass, but especially in other ways where we are seeking personal growth through ministries or different ways we are involved and serve, those things are all necessary for us to cultivate a thriving relationship with God. It will not happen overnight, and it will not happen if we're just praying for 5 or 10 minutes a day and we show up for an hour every Sunday. It will not fall in our lap. We need to work at it. Anything in this life that is worth doing that results in those abundant qualities that Paul is writing about takes effort and time and work. So brothers and sisters, are you putting in the effort, time, and work to your faith? Compare it to the other things that you're passionate about, the other things that consume your time. How does it compare? Are you spending an adequate enough amount of time? And there's always more. There's always more to spend, always more growth to be had, always more wisdom to be poured out and revelation to be received and learned. And so I pray, Lord, that for everyone listening to this, that you would cultivate in them a passionate desire to know you and give them the encouragement to know that it is possible. It is possible. 10 years ago, I did really not know that much about the Bible. And now today, I mean, I would consider myself at least maybe a low-level biblical scholar. And it's not because of anything special about me, but it's because of daily study that aligns with the gifts that I've developed over time, having patience, experimenting with them, and using them in community, and the community reflecting back to me, hey, you seem really gifted at this, and giving me that feedback. And the same thing can happen for you. I'm not some kind of theological superhero. Nobody is. It just takes time. And so I pray, brothers and sisters, that you would see the gift that is awaiting you and set aside our desire for instant gratification and instant results, which this world is always promising us with every new diet and exercise program that's out there, and none of it is really that lasting or real, and recognize that it's going to take time and work. And so to start today, not tomorrow, not one day, but today. Today, let it be the first day of the rest of your life and your relationship with the Lord that's thriving and growing in deeper and richer ways than you ever thought possible. I pray that reality is true for you, as I have found it to be true for me. And I'm still growing, and you will too. So let's pray for one another. That is all I have for you this week. Until next time, I will see you in the Eucharist. God bless.